Now, from the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, and Jeff Lagerman.
All right, happy Tuesday, a Check the Tape Tuesday. That may not make you happy if you're a Jaguar fan, but we will check the tape through the eyes of Jeff Lagerman this morning. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith here with you, as well as Jeff Lagerman. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, Jeff and Tony. As Jeff, you mentioned a moment ago, you said with the change in offense coordinator, will that get the offense going? Well, there's a chance, right? The way I described it yesterday is, you know, some people are saying this is a scapegoat move. To me, Gus Bradley's the head coach. He's not stupid, right? He realizes that what happens over the next nine games will dictate not only his tenure here in Jacksonville, could dictate whether he gets another opportunity to be a head coach in the National Football League. The writing's on the wall that if they don't get it turned around, Gus is probably not going to be back next year. He can figure that out for himself. If I'm Gus Bradley and I think there's a chance that I could try something that might work, why wouldn't I try
it? Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, look, this is not, I don't think this is about Gus. I don't think it's about him. I think it's about he's looking at an offense that has regressed, was stagnant for the first couple games, and then the last couple has regressed. And, you know, time is running out. You know, I mean, that's just the way it is. I mean, it's year four, and that's the reality of it. And when drastic times sometimes call, I don't want to say call for drastic measures, but call for measures, you know, steps to be taken to try to rectify something and hopefully get it steered in the right direction. So, you know, I don't have a problem with it. You know, I don't have one problem with what Gus did. I don't have any problem with, you know, his comment on Friday that, you know, when he was asked, do you expect any staff changes? And his answer was no. You know, a lot of people criticized him because he said that on Friday, but then turned around on Saturday and made a change. Look, if you're, you know, the owner or the head coach, you're not going to forecast, you know, something that may or may not happen. You know, so for him to say on Friday, no changes are expected, I don't have any problem with that whatsoever. Allow him to make a measured, cool, calm, collective, sleep-on-it type decision, and he did that on Saturday. Now, will that help? I don't know. We'll see what's going to happen.
Yeah, we talk about, you know, you mentioned the criticism of elevating the guy who's coaching the position that seems to be struggling the most right now, Nathaniel Hackett, right? Who else are you going to put in that role, though? If you want to make a switch, right, at least he's got play-calling experience in the National Football League. I don't see another obvious candidate. It's not like there's any particular area of the Jaguars' offense that is humming along right now.
No, and look, you go with the next guy that gives you the best chance, and Nathaniel Hackett has done it before. At least it provides a little bit of continuity with the offensive staff because Doug Marrone, the offensive line coach, and Nathaniel Hackett have worked together. Doug Marrone is kind of the running game guy, you know, being the offensive line coach. So at least you have a little bit of working continuity going forward.
Is that something you expect? I mean, that was what they did in Buffalo. They had a successful running game up there in Buffalo.
I mean, part of the reason why they had a successful running game is because they didn't have a very good quarterback, which is, you know, right now that's what the Jaguars got. So, common sense will tell you that that's what they need to try to do. The question is will it work?
Right.
You know, because it hasn't shown that it's worked yet, you know, with the running game, you know, one of the worst teams in the National Football League, you know, what, second worst team in the league running the football right now. You know, so you hope that they can gain a little bit of footing with the run game. But, you know, the one thing you've got to be able to do is convert third downs and have some success early. You know, and is that the running game? Oh, yeah, it's the running game, but it's also the quarterback, and the quarterback's got to play better. And, you know, people are asking, you know, is this the right move for Blake? You know, some people are saying, well, I don't like, you know, you got an outsider coming in, you know, to teach a quarterback or coach a quarterback up when he's struggling. Look, hey, look, anything that may help, you try to do, you know.
Right, what he did last year, he went to an outsider.
Sure.
And it helped him.
And that's what quarterbacks do because of the limited amount of work that they can get with their coaching staff now with the collective bargaining agreement. They go to outside consultant type people and work on their game, work on their mechanics. And so if it helps Blake Bortles gain confidence, even if it doesn't help him physically, if it helps him gain confidence going into this game this week against a pretty good Kansas City Chiefs football team, it's worth it.
Yeah, it's like, you know, I keep comparing it to, you know, putting. You get mentally, you know, you can make a six-footer, but then sometimes you just can't, right? And if you make one and somebody tells you, wow, that stroke looked much better than the other ones, it could be the exact same one, but sometimes that's all it takes.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, well, now I'm going to start making them, right?
You know, it was interesting in that, you know, last night we had Brad Nortman on Jaguars All Access, and we had a conversation with him. He obviously came from the Carolina Panthers last year. We're 14-0 on their way to the Super Bowl. And, look, I've never been on a team that got on a run to go to the Super Bowl. I've been on a team in 96 that we got on a run to go to the AFC title game. And it was funny and interesting to ask him the question, what changed? What changed with the Carolina Panthers to where last year, the year before, I think they were 7-8-1. Last year they were 14-0 going into the last 2 weeks of the season and clinched the NFC home field advantage. And he said, you know, it really wasn't any particular moment or anything that was said or anything that was done. It was just, you know, we made a play. And then we make a play, and then all of a sudden we make another play. And then we gain a little bit of confidence. And then all of a sudden the ball starts to get rolling. It's the exact same thing that happened in 96 with our football team. When we were struggling and there was concern over what the direction of the franchise as a whole, you know, was it headed in the right direction? But there was nothing said, no singular moment that changed the fate of our football team. It was just moments all kind of put together. And this football team needs to have one moment. And then after one moment, add another one to it. And then the third one adds to it. And then the confidence grows, and then all of a sudden things can change. But you got to start with moment, number one. And then add number two and go from there.
All right, we got to take a break here. Jeff Logman's in the house. Fat Tony is here. I'm Mike Dempsey. It's Jaguars Today on a Check the Tape Tuesday. That means our question of the day, presented by the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships, as it typically is on a Tuesday. Just asking you to send your questions in for Jeff Logman. We'll answer them from social media, whether on Twitter, at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL, Fat Tony, at Logs56, L-O-G-S-5-6, on the Jaguars Today Facebook page and on the text line, driven by Duval Ford at 641-1010. That's the phone number as well. If you'd like to get on board, talk Jags today. We'll hear from Nate Hackett. We'll hear from Blake Bortles and Gus Bradley along the way today as we continue to talk Jags with you as we head into week 9 of the National Football League season. It's Jaguars Today live at Everbank on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
The flagship station of the Jaguars, 1010XL. 92.5 FM.
Do you own a truck or an SUV? There's one name to know, Catlin. From Lear toppers to trailer hitching, at Catlin, we do it all. This is Keith Catlin, and we know trucks. Need a toolbox? Come see the Cam Locker. Need floor mats? We carry WeatherTech. At Catlin, we carry quality products at a great price. Come see us today or call us at 354-8521.
Can you count on? Count on Catlin.
Established in 1919, you can count on Catlin.
Lately, there has been a lot of talk about concussions and their effect on health in sports. Be assured that the safety of your student-athlete is in good hands. Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute provides certified athletic trainers during each game and practice to treat sports-related injuries, including concussions. JOI. The exclusive sports medicine provider for Jacksonville University, Jacksonville Sharks, the NFL's Jacksonville Jaguars, and Bishop Kenny.
Have you ever been injured or lost a loved one as a result of someone else? This is attorney Brett Hastings. Every day I help people pick up the pieces of their lives after a traumatic event and guide them to a place of closure. I focus on fighting for those who have been injured and even killed by the negligence of others. My firm is personally committed to making sure you obtain a recovery that is fair and just. There are never any fees or costs to you unless you win. Law offices of Brett Hastings. Visit justiceforjacksonville.com.
Now's the time to play hardball with your company's logo, shirts, and other promotional items. If it's swag you need this fall, let Hardball do it all.
Hardball Creative. Hardball does it all.
At 2 Minute Truck, we know moving is tough, but we're going to make it easy. Whether your move is big or small, we'll make it a smooth one. We're the movers who care, and we'll prove it with our 96% referral rate and courteous professional movers. Call 2 Minute Truck, Jacksonville, St. Augustine, 877-285-3170.
Catch Jaguars linebacker Telvin Smith, Tuesdays on 1010XL.
We hit, we win.
The Telvin Smith Show.
You do it as tough as it is possible.
Tuesdays at 4:40 p.m. Brought to you by Carlson Enterprises. From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, more Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
It's awesome. I mean, he's a guy that I've been with for going on 6 years now. Who would have thought? And he's a very good friend. I've been with him for a long time. He knows me. I know him. He knows how I work. He's been in there. He's watched me run around like a madman. And it's great to have him as somebody there that I can lean on and ask the questions that I'll have about the run game, about the pass game.
That's Nathaniel Hackett talking about Doug Marrone having a coach on staff that he's familiar with by his side, that comfort level, and just working in conjunction with him. Jeff, you've got these different position coaches. We don't talk about this very often. At least I don't believe we have too much on this program. You know, you got Jerry Sullivan doing his thing. You got Marrone doing his thing. They've got their different groups and all the other assistant coaches. How important is it to have those good working relationships with your offensive coordinator, that you're all on the same page, that even if you have different philosophies, maybe overall, that you buy into what the OC is doing, because there can only be one voice on that front?
Well, it's critical, you know, to have everybody on the same page. And you know, look, everybody doesn't have to be in agreement. You know, sometimes a little bit of caustic attitudes,
spirited back and forth,
yeah,
sure,
can be a good thing.
Right, but in the end,
you all have to be holding hands and walking out together.
And we all walk out that door as a unit, right?
Yep. And you know, I don't know how that relationship was between, you know, all the coaches on the offensive staff. And I haven't heard anything that would say that it was bad.
Sure.
Sometimes when it's, you know, look, some of the successful teams in the National Football League, you go back to when the Ravens won a Super Bowl, they reportedly had fistfights on their coaching staff
right.
In the playoffs. You know, and so sometimes that can be a good thing, because what it does is it spurs thought and it makes people be defensive to the point that they have to prove what they believe in. So they have to show it, and if you can't prove it, then your point doesn't hold water. You know, so some of that can be really, really good on a staff. As long as on game day, you're holding hands and you're ready to work together.
Buddy Ryan, Kevin Gilbride, right?
A little different there. I was actually on the sideline of that game.
Is that right?
Yeah, it was the Jets game.
Okay. I don't recall the details of that one. Yeah. I just remember that it came to blows.
Yeah, which, you know, I mean, we were on the other side of the field. And
could you tell what was going on?
There was some kind of – all you could tell was there was something that happened on the other side of the field. We didn't see it until, I think, you know, later that night or the next day when we happened to see SportsCenter, and then they showed it, because back then SportsCenter was basically your only avenue for any kind of game highlights.
Right.
But, I mean, there was moments that when Kevin Gilbride was here in Jacksonville that I wanted to punch him, because we were still throwing football when we were up, and I'm going, run the football, Kevin, for God's sakes.
Right.
And, in fact, I remember one game, we were up, and we were throwing the football, and I couldn't understand why, and I just yelled as loud as I could, run the
– bleeping.
Yeah. It wasn't a really bad word.
Oh, okay.
You know, it was, but not a good word.
Gotcha.
I'd put on the radio. And I said, just run the blank ball.
Run the darn ball.
And Tom turned around, he heard me, he looked at me, and I'm like, run it. And I wasn't backing off.
And did they?
We won, but I don't remember how the play call changed, to be honest with you. But I remember going, I think I might have just got cut.
Uh-oh. Oh, well. You know what? As long as you can play, I think you can get away with the occasional outburst like that, especially when you're up and you're trying to win the football game. Let's get a couple calls going here at 641-1010. A bunch of questions coming in on social media. We'll fire them at you coming up shortly. Let's start with Short Dog out in Gainesville. Good morning, Short Dog. How are you?
Hey, man. How you doing, Mike?
We're good. What's up?
Yeah, Jeff and everybody. Diehard Jaguar fan, man, and I'm down with them to the end or whatever, to the beginning and to the end. I just got one question for Jeff. And I love the show, Mike. I always listen to it every morning while I'm driving. Jeff, if Bortles is struggling the first quarter, second quarter, you go into halftime. With the season on the line, we're 2-5. We lose, we 2-6. Would you make the switch to Chad Henne after halftime if he's struggling in the first and second quarter? And I'll take my comments off there.
All right, thanks, man.
That's a great question, Short Dog. I kind of brought it up last week where I said that, you know, Blake Bortles' performance is at the point where you start thinking that way, right? And I think that if you're a coach, you're always hesitant to do that because Blake wears a C on his jersey, which means he's a captain. And you don't ever want to take the captain away from the ship. But if the performance continues to warrant that change is needed, then at some point you might need to do that. And I think to do that, you need to almost prepare for it. When I say prepare for it, a conversation with a player leading up to it to where you say, look, we understand that you're struggling. And we're going to support you, and we want you to get better because you're our guy. But if it continues, we have to make a change because it's best for the team. And so I think if it's handled that way, and some quarterbacks, I don't care how you handle it, they're not going to take it very well. But I think Blake is mentally tough. I think he's physically tough, and I think he's realistic. I mean, he's been the first one to get up in his press conference, and it's not easy to answer those questions every week, twice a week, because he has a press conference during the week, he has a press conference after the game, and he's answering the same questions.
And oftentimes he's talking to you after the game as well.
And he's never backed away from
right.
it. And I give him all the credit in the world. And I've always said this about Blake. He's a mentally tough individual. And I think the one play that I think showed that was the 3rd-and-10 scramble that he had Thursday night. He's not playing well. He takes off and runs, and he ends up getting close to the first down stripe, and he lowers his head like a running back to make the first down. That's what I love about Blake, because he's willing to do that, because he's an ultimate competitor, which he is. But that play also showed you something that you're not loving about him right now, in that if he stays in the pocket, which he could have, Allen Robinson, he had 2 vertical routes to the outside. A-Rob was the 3rd on the right side, and he's running an out route at 15 yards. If he stays in the pocket and he makes the throw, it's a first down. He doesn't have to scramble, and he doesn't have to lower his head. So, I mean, that play kind of signifies, almost in its entirety, that one play signifies what Blake, what you don't love and what you do love about him. And so can it be made? Can it happen? Yes, but it also, like I said, you have to have the things that happen before that, before you actually
lay the groundwork so sure. you're not pulling the rug out from under him, so to speak.
And it's not easy because, you know, you've got what was expected to be a franchise quarterback, you know, and people still expect him to be a franchise quarterback. The general manager drafted him 3rd overall for a reason. The coach was on board with that. You know, so you have a belief in a player. Is Chad Henne a better option? And we've seen Chad play. Hasn't been great. You know, is it going to be better than Blake?
At the moment, possibly, maybe. But what's the upside? The future of the quarterback position in Jacksonville is not Chad Henne, right? Right? So it possibly still is Blake Bortles. And that's why I think that great desire is to exhaust every avenue
sure.
before you go down the road of pulling the trigger.
But there's a lot of quarterbacks that I would say, no, you don't do that. But I think Blake is wired different. I think he has the mentality of a positional player in football. He's an ultimate competitor, and he's a realist. So I think if anybody could handle it, he would. Hopefully you don't have to get to that point, but you need to look at it.
Here's Michael in Orange Park has a question on Hackett and what he's going to do for this offense. Good morning, Michael. How are you?
Good morning, gentlemen. 2 questions. One, was the lack of offense more of a Blake Bortles issue or a Greg Olsen from the viewpoint of Gus? And the second part is, with the offensive coordinator change, do you think that he'll start catering more to the things that Blake is successful at, such as more no huddle and stuff like that?
Okay, thank you. Let me before we have Jeff weigh in on that, let's hear what Hackett had to say yesterday on what he's seeing on tape that he thinks Blake can build off of and what he thinks he does do well right now.
Lots of stuff. If I told you, though, I wouldn't want anybody else to know. You know, there's a lot of things just from the mid-range game and stuff. His completion percentage last year, I believe, was 58%. And there's some things that he's gone up in completion percentage that's been good. And there's been some things that have caused him not to get even more completions that he possibly could have. Last year he had a lot of things that you're like, what are you doing? And the good thing is that his eyes are in the right spot. He's feeling the pass concepts. He's understanding where he's going with the ball. Sometimes, but just for whatever reason, it might not be executed well enough from across the board, from, like I said, the offensive line, wide receivers, running backs, tight ends. I mean, it goes across for everybody. So I think that, once again, we get everybody on the same page. We focus on some of those things that I've seen him do well, and I think that'll help us.
All right, so let's take them in the order he asked them there, Jeff. First of all, offensive coordinator Blake Bortles, who was the bigger culprit? I know you could say there's blame to go around, but if there is one bigger culprit, who do you think it was?
I don't know if you can say that one is the bigger culprit than the other, but you know, the fact is that, you know, coordinators don't get fired if quarterbacks are playing well. Yeah, I mean, that's the way it is.
Right.
You know, I mean,
and it's a lot easier to fire the coordinator than the quarterback.
You can't fire the quarterback.
Generally, right.
No. There's been a lot of coordinators that have been in the league that have been great coordinators because they've had great quarterbacks. Could you say the flip side of that? Yeah. I mean, there's been some instances of that, but not a ton of them to where you've had a poor quarterback and a great coordinator and they've been able to survive. You know, but for the most part, you know, quarterback makes coach.
In terms of Hackett putting Blake in better positions than he has been put in up to this point, is it more about that, or is it more on Blake, just as Hackett said, that maybe his eyes are in the right spot, he's seeing the right thing.
Execution.
Right, which could be Blake throwing a poor pass, could be a drop, could be a number of things.
That's how you read it. Yeah. I mean, what the execution of it is, the execution of it is the throw. Well, what's involved in the throw? Okay, it's the timing, it's the delivery, it's the accuracy, it's the footwork, it's everything. So, yes, Blake has to be better, but, you know, with all that being said, you know, and I know that nobody ever wants to hear this answer, but I mean, everybody's got to be better as well. You know, there is some truth to that. The offensive line has to protect better, but for the most part, the offensive line has protected better. The routes have to be better. And I said this, I think it was last week, that there has to be more of a sense of urgency with the routes. But at the same token, if the balls start getting delivered better, then I think there's more motivation in a sense of urgency with the routes, knowing that if I do this right, it's going to be there. And when it's not happening, then all of a sudden it kind of starts to chip away at your own effectiveness, if you know what I mean, as a wide receiver.
Your belief, like, hey, I'm going to run this thing crisp and I'm not going to be there anyway. So what difference does it make,
right? Is this really going to be there? Yeah. You know, but you got to fight through that. And it's not easy to do.
All right, here's Jeff Logman along with Fat Tony. I'm Mike Dempsey. It's Jaguars Today. We're live at Everbank Field on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. 641-1010 is the phone number, and you can get on board that way or hit us up on the text line at the same number. We'll take in some social media questions for Jeff Logman. Coming up next, again, Jaguars Today live at Everbank on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Now more Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
We're constantly evaluating. We evaluate our players. We're evaluating our scheme. We're evaluating our calls. You know, we're constantly evaluating. Sometimes by weeks or an extended period of time to get a chance to reflect at it. And I think that's what I tried to use this whole weekend to do, was to look at a lot of things that were taking place. And I just think that as the weekend went on or the day went on, things just became clear.
That's Gus Bradley yesterday talking about the decision process and kind of the routine he goes through to constantly keep up with the, you know, how he's feeling about the coaching staff, the players, himself, and on and on and on, and why it went down the way it did go down with the decision to let Greg Olsen go. 641-1010 is the phone number. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, and Jeff Logman on a Check the Tape Tuesday with you here on Jaguars Today. Let's go up to Scott in North Carolina checking in next. Jeff, we're just talking about this very subject. You had not heard the comments from Chris Mortensen and Jazeen Anderson, the report on NFL Insiders last Friday. Tony and I talked about it a little bit yesterday. I think this is what Scott wants to talk about, some of the comments that are reportedly being sourced in the Jaguar organization. Scott, good morning. How are you?
Doing all right, thanks.
Go ahead.
I first off, I had to say I called in preseason criticizing Jason Myers. He's been awesome. I mean, perfect in every way. So gotta get that off my chest. But the Bradley thing, at the press conference was extremely awkward, and I commend Brian O'Halloran for asking the tough questions. He did back down after he asked one about the basket case, in which Bradley responded like something along the lines of either he didn't know what that was or he acted like he didn't know what that was. So I just wanted to hear y'all's thoughts about that, and also, I don't know if you would be willing to speculate who it was that said that. I mean, there's only a small handful of people. If that report is correct, there's only a small handful of people who are not used to losing on the Jaguars offense, and there's only one person on the Jaguars offense who's not used to losing and who also catches passes from Blake Bortles. So I just wanted to hear y'all's thoughts on that.
Right. Just to be clear, there's two different sets of comments that were reportedly sourced, and the basket case one, people are getting this confused. Josina Anderson talked about a player, she said an offensive starter who wasn't used to losing. He did not use the basket case reference. He used the reference, according to Josina Anderson, that we don't have the right quarterback. The basket case thing was a Chris Mortensen report from source.
Yeah,
it didn't say it was even a player.
It's a reflection of
could have been anybody.
Yeah, I mean, you're watching Blake Bortles play the way he's playing. I assume he's not practicing a whole lot better. So, yeah, I could see it looks basket casey on the field right now for him.
Right, and I just want to be – I'm not saying that it's not a player. I'm just saying let's be clear about what is being
could
reported.
Be anybody.
Here's what so you can hear it, Jeff, because, you know, the question was in part – what do you make of Gus Bradley claiming he didn't know about it? You, until 5 minutes ago, had not heard of this.
Well, I had heard it, but I didn't have it, you know, as far as the exact circumstances like you
got
played
it. Well, let's play it for you. This was on NFL Insiders on Friday. First, you're going to hear Chris Mortensen, followed by Josina Anderson.
Blake Bortles, their so-called franchise quarterback, is now basically, according to one source, at a basket case. He's lost so much confidence. He's got everybody else nervous on that team, on that staff, and certainly in the front office. Those players are frustrated.
Here's the thing. I talked to a Jags offensive starter just this morning. He had only gotten 2 hours sleep. So he's not used to losing. And he said, I don't typically sleep well in this type of situation. And the first thing he said to me is, you know, I just don't think we have the right quarterback.
Okay.
Yeah,
what, if
you
anything,
know,
do you make?
Look, I don't think there's anything wrong with either comment. You know, I mean, if the quarterback is not playing well, he doesn't have confidence, his body language of frustration after things don't happen gives the appearance of being a quote-unquote basket case by many people's definition. The Mortensen report, which was the basket case, no, I have no problem with that. Is anybody shocked by that?
Oh, I don't think they're shocked. I think that, to me, the only somewhat surprising thing is, Tony, they've been really a kind of a circle of the wagons, spout the philosophy of Gus Bradley kind of team, right? Positivity. You haven't heard much dissension. I remember we heard one comment from Toby Gerhardt a couple seasons ago, maybe about his playing time or something like it. It was just a small thing, right? And it got a lot of focus because we weren't hearing any of that kind of dissension out of the locker. That, to me, this just seemed like two different sources. It seemed like two different sources. And as I'm not surprised about the comments or the feelings. I'm a little bit surprised that I guess the cracks are starting to come in the front in terms of the unity. You know what I'm saying?
Well, most of the time when you're 2-5 and the expectation is to be good,
right?
That's what happens. And I don't have a problem with it. I mean, it is what it is. You know, my whole thing is from, you know, being in a locker room is do something about it. Change the narrative. Change the perspective. You know, be good to where you don't have to worry about comments like that. Pretty simple. You control it.
There you go. All right. Got this. You're going to love this series of texts.
Okay.
I say sarcastically. On the text line, 641-1010, driven by Duval Ford. Jeff Loggs is full of crap. Gus has to go. If I was Shad and Gus comes to me to fire another coordinator, I would have fired him on the spot. Jed Fish's offense was too complicated for professionals, so he took it to Michigan, and kids are running it to perfection thus far. In other
words, first of all, Jed Fish is not the coordinator in Michigan. He's the passing game coordinator.
Okay.
He's not the one running the ship. Jim Harbaugh. I don't care what titles people have. Jim Harbaugh is the offensive coordinator in Michigan.
Okay. The larger point, I think, is that Gus has not been hesitant to get rid of a coordinator if things haven't been going well. When does the buck stop with Gus? That's how
It's going to stop with Gus at the end of the year. I mean, that's, you know, and I think if you're Shad Khan, when I say it's going to stop at the end of the year, at the end of the year, you know, the owner's going to make a decision, and that's and I think that's the right way to do it. I think any kind of change or decision that you make in midseason doesn't accomplish anything.
Well, I get,
from the head coaching standpoint.
To play devil's advocate, from the head coaching standpoint, though, so why is it different for the head coaching standpoint as opposed to the coordinator level?
Well, I don't know if it is, Mike, to be honest with you.
Okay.
But, you know, we're going to find out if the change that they made has an impact. And as I said before, it really hasn't shown through history to have a dramatic effect. Now, it's had an impact on the Buffalo Bills this year with Anthony Lynn being promoted to the offensive coordinator when they let go of what was the guys that came from San Francisco.
Greg Roman.
So, you know, does it have a chance? Yes. Is the percentage high that it's going to have a huge impact? No. But we're going to have to wait and see. And for the first comment, am I full of crap? Yes, I am full of crap. That's why I use the bathroom regularly.
There you go. I knew you'd like that one. why? Here's one on the text line. Why do we have to sugarcoat everything for Blake Bortles? That's the problem with the Jaguars. Winning, sit you or release you. Here, we give you time. Well, I think he's saying on winning teams, they would sit you or release you. And in here in Jacksonville, we just give you time to work things out.
Well, I don't care what team it is. If you've got a guy that is expected to be a franchise quarterback, you're going to get most teams give him every opportunity. It's not about, you know, Team X would treat this situation differently. I don't think so. You know, so if the Pittsburgh Steelers have Ben Roethlisberger that's struggling, you know, start a season, are they going to bench Ben?
No, but
they might bench the guy they draft after Ben if he's struggling, you know, 2.5 years in. Like, and that's where we're at in this discussion is it turning on Blake? And I'm with you. I give him the time to try to bounce out of this because if he doesn't bounce out of it, he's not the franchise quarterback.
Yeah, it's very clear that, look, he's got 9 games left to be able to show that he's – is a franchise quarterback. And I'm not saying that only 9 games. I mean, maybe he gets next year if you don't end up having the opportunity to draft a guy that you think is going to be the answer. You know, but right now, 7 games in, he's not giving you an indication or the likelihood that he's going to be the franchise guy.
All right, we've got a lot of questions coming in on Twitter and on the Jaguars Today Facebook page as well. If you'd like to get in on the phone line, 641-1010, we'll keep those open to you throughout the next hour. But coming back, we've got This State in Football and the Honda Drive around the NFL. More Check the Tape Tuesday with Jeff Loggeman and Tony Smith. I'm Mike Dempsey. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, this is Jaguars Today. Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, sports medicine provider for the Jacksonville Jaguars, Jacksonville Sharks, and Jacksonville University. The Notre Dame Fighting Irish, the Navy Midshipmen, two legendary programs, one historic matchup at Everbank Field. 1010XL's coverage of Navy Notre Dame is brought to you by the construction law and business litigation attorneys, Regan, Whalen, Zabuni, and Atwood.
Now is the best time to join TPC Sawgrass with the Players Stadium course and new practice grounds opening November 15th. Mention this ad when you join and get a special incentive. Call 280-2412 or tpc.com/sawgrass.
Doing business in North Florida for over 20 years, First Coast Roofing is the only call you need to make for all your roofing needs, residential or commercial, repairs or re-roofs. Call today for a free estimate, 287-7756. How about a roof for as little as $500? First Coast Roofing specializes in roofs damaged by wind or hail and will work with you to file your homeowner's claim with the insurance company. Call Bob Roberts at First Coast Roofing for all your roofing needs, 287-7756. License number CCC-0567.
Hey Jacksonville, we're Locat.
We love big number one Duval Ford,
Jacksonville's first and only family owned and operated Ford dealership. I'm
talking to. Visit us online at DuvalFord.com. F-O-R-D-T-U.
Hi, I'm Eddie Farah.
You may have noticed how hard the auto insurance companies are competing for your business. But before you shop, let me explain how they actually determine your rate. It may not be what you think. For example, your actual driving record is not the most important factor determining your monthly premium. In fact, your driving record barely makes the top 10. In the top 3 is your credit score. Some insurance guru has figured out that a low score means that you're more likely to file a claim. They use something called an insurance score. A low score means a high premium. They talk about saving you money, but I guess Flo and that little green lizard don't want you to know how to keep your hard-earned cash in your pocket. But I do. Protect your credit score and save. That's what I mean when I say protecting you and your family since 1979. Call Farrah and Farrah at 396-5555, Jacksonville.
When you vote this election, go all the way to the end of your ballot and vote yes on County Referendum 1. It's finally something we can all agree on, a bipartisan plan to create more good jobs and help our city have a better quality of life. Your yes vote gives adults who already enjoy gaming entertainment like cards and racing one more option. Slot machines, only for adults and only in state-licensed gaming facilities called Paramutuals. And in Jacksonville, there's only one place. You won't see them springing up all over town. A bipartisan group of city leaders agreed the data is clear. This new gaming option will create jobs and grow revenue. Money that can support public safety with more police officers and pay for necessities like better roads and bridges. We're talking millions of dollars for our city. So, vote yes for more jobs. Vote yes for a better future. Vote yes on County Referendum Number 1.
Paid political advertisement paid for and approved by Families for Safety and Prosperity. 133 Harbor Drive South, Venice, Florida, 34285.
Home of the Jacksonville Jaguars. WJXL AM Jacksonville Beach. WJXL FM Jacksonville Beach.
Hey Jacksonville, Tony Baselli here. I just want to say thank you to my friend Dr. Raphael Foss, DC DPSC, and his staff at 904thin.com for helping me lose weight and get healthy this year. I've been doing his amazing NutriBros program over the past couple months, and I'm down over 70 pounds. Check this out. I lost 55 of those pounds in the first 40 days. My wife Angie did the program too, and she lost 20 pounds in 40 days. The process is so simple. You meet your own personal health coach who learns more about your unique challenges, and you do a quick, painless test to determine what your body needs to get into fat burning mode. That information is used to customize an all natural program where you can lose 20 to 40 or more pounds in just 40 days with no drugs, no surgery, no prepackaged food or shakes, even exercises are required. So what are you waiting for? The only thing you have to lose is the weight. To get started, call my friend Dr. Foss today at 844-904-THIN or schedule your consultation online at 904thin.com. That's 904thin.com or simply call 844-904-THIN. Tell them Tony Baselli sent you.
Another wonderful Christmas window display is at Kuhn Flowers on Beach Boulevard. Well known for their holiday decorations, Kuhn Flowers invites you to drive by and see it with your entire family. KuhnFlowers.com.
So your home didn't sell the first time. Are you fed up? It's time to make a change. Hire the Selling with CC team to get your home sold. We like houses to sell, not sit. To schedule an appointment, go to sellingwithcc.com.
And now, this date in football history.
All right, what happened on November 1st? By the way, happy November, everybody. Let's move along to 1959. I guess go back to 1959. And this date, November 1st, 1959, Cleveland running back Jim Brown. You may have heard of him. He scored five touchdowns that day against the Baltimore Colts, led the Browns to a 38-31 victory. Famous birthdays for this date. Jeff, I'm sure you remember Steve Hutchinson well.
Excellent player.
Seattle and Minnesota. He is the reason that poison pill clauses in NFL contracts are now outlawed by the National Football League, because he signed a deal with Minnesota, an offer sheet that basically said if he didn't play X amount of games in the state of Minnesota, or I forget if it, maybe if it was if he played more than a certain amount in the state of Washington, like his entire contract would guarantee at the time of that first time they hit the threshold. And Seattle couldn't match a deal like that, and then the NFL outlawed those kind of things. But Steve Hutchinson was one of the best guards we've seen. A member of the All-2000s team, a 7-time Pro Bowler, and a 5-time first-team All-Pro. Getting it done. Former Florida Gator running back Mike Gillisley, now getting his chance to operate as a starter in the absence of LeSean McCoy, was born on this date in 1990. Happy 26th to Mike. And passing away on this date in 1999, Sweetness, Walter Payton, At one time, the NFL's all-time leading rusher, currently still second, however, behind Emmitt Smith, just ahead of Barry Sanders, passed away at the age of only 45 years old on this date in 1999. That is this date in football history.
Now, the Honda Drive Around the NFL, brought to you by your First Coast Honda dealers.
The Cleveland Browns traded a third-round pick to the New England Patriots for linebacker Jamie Collins yesterday. Collins is in the final year of his rookie deal. He is reportedly going to be looking for something around $12 million a year this offseason. That's basically what Luke Kuechly is getting in Carolina. So we'll see how that works out. Cleveland, by trading for him, at least has the option to use the franchise tag if they can't work out a long-term deal with Collins this offseason. Percy Harvin reportedly going to be coming out of retirement to re-sign with the Buffalo Bills as they're dealing with wide receiver issues up there in Buffalo. The Green Bay Packers cut running back Nile Davis just 2 weeks after trading for him from the Kansas City Chiefs. Davis had carried the ball just five times with Green Bay, but they seem content to keep running receivers out of the backfield with Ty Montgomery, Randall Cobb, Devontae Adams, at least until James Starks is able to return. Davis could wind up back in Kansas City, where the Chiefs are dealing with injuries to their backfield right now. Jamal Charles recovering from an ACL, going back to see Dr. James Andrews this week to check up on the progress of his knee. Spencer Ware is now in the league's concussion protocol after taking a big hit on Sunday against Indianapolis. Alex Smith, the Chiefs quarterback, also left the game with an apparent concussion. He has already been cleared and should be a full go this week. And finally, what NFL quarterback said this? Quote, "At the end of the day, I have great confidence in myself. I have great belief in myself. I'm my own biggest critic, if you will. When the game doesn't go how maybe I want it to or how this team wants it to, I examine that film very hard. I'm very hard on myself to improve. As far as blocking outside the outside noise, it's really actually not that difficult." No, that's not Blake Bortles. That's Houston's Brock Osweiler with that quote yesterday addressing the media.
Ah, good to see that struggling is not isolated.
No, it's kind of universal. When your quarterback's not playing well, it's I block out all that noise.
Yeah, what is Houston though, record wise?
Pretty good. 5-3, I think.
Yeah, I'd take that.
No, I hear you. They've been and their three losses came to New England, Denver, and Minnesota. Yeah. So three of the better teams in the league. I told you, I think Minnesota might have a total collapse here, man.
Yeah.
They can't move the ball, they can't score. Right now,
I was looking forward to watching them last night because, you know, it was my first opportunity to actually be able to watch the Minnesota Vikings on television. No opponent common film for me to be able to watch the Minnesota Vikings yet. So I think it was one, but it was early on when Sam Bradford was, you know, just getting into the program. So I was like, okay, I want to watch and see now that he's been in there and see how good that Minnesota Vikings defense is. And, boy, they didn't look very good last night to me.
No, and they're going up against a Bears offensive line that was missing both of their starting guards.
Right? Yeah. Right?
Kyle Long and Josh Sitton were both out. Yeah, absolutely.
But they did have Jay Cutler.
They did have Cutler.
It was good Jay last night.
You're right.
You talk about arm talent.
He's Jeff George.
I've said it, I've said it for a couple of years, many years. I'm going all the way back when he was with the Denver Broncos. One of the most talented arms I've ever seen.
You see that throw he hit Alshon in the back of the head with last night?
It's unbelievable.
I mean, it was unbelievable. Alshon, get your head turned.
Pinpoint accuracy.
I mean, pinpoint accuracy when he's basically getting leveled in the pot. Had to let it go. By the way, the Jamie Collins, I don't know if you guys heard, Michael Lombardi, who is former NFL GM, he's been making the rounds on some national shows yesterday. I think he carries the water for Bill Belichick. You know, when Belichick
reportedly he does
right, he's not going to come out and say. But oh my gosh, did he savage Jamie Collins yesterday?
What did he say?
Savaged him. That basically, he goes freelances all the time. Doesn't care what the play is. He's going to do whatever Jamie wants. It's always been that way. Said he's got a loser's mentality. Said he went to Southern Miss where they went 0-11 one year, according to Lombardi. I didn't bother to check the records. He goes, and I think he carried that mentality with him, that it doesn't matter. The outcome of the game doesn't matter. He's not a winner. I mean, he was just lighting him up like you don't rarely
I think
hear.
Somebody got the message from somebody to deliver.
Exactly. Like, people are asking, why was Bill Belichick trading off, you know, his best defensive player after he already dealt Chandler Jones right before the season to Arizona, who's having a nice year for the Cardinals out there.
Yeah. Well, I'm a little different with Chandler Jones because Chandler Jones had that incident.
He did with the what is it, synthetic marijuana.
Showing up at a police station.
Not sure, right. It was a little – there's probably more to that that's going on. But basically, you could have made an easy argument, I think, that Chandler Jones, Jamie Collins were the best two defensive players on that football team you know, if you ask me June 1st, who are the best two? They're both gone, and Belichick doesn't seem to mind. And I get it. Look, he's been successful. It's hard to question his methods.
No,
right?
I don't think you question anything that he does. I mean, he's still winning, and he's still performing at a level that the league has never seen in the era of free agency. And to be honest with you, if that is the case with Jamie Collins, then Bill Belichick did the right thing.
Right. Well, and they say Collins is asking for Von Miller money in early contract negotiations. There was no way they're going to pay him that.
The only thing that was a little bit surprising was that you would trade him for a compensatory pick, because if you kept him and he walks in free agency, you get the player's performance for this year, and then you're going to get a compensatory pick
a year later
for him anyway.
Right. You'd get it a year removed, but granted, and That's you're absolutely right about that, but I think this pick is a fourth, and it could become a third potentially.
Something like that.
I think the expectation was that it would be a third, and all compensatory picks fall at the end of the round, so it would essentially be an early fourth.
Right, a late third.
And this is the first year that you are actually able to trade compensatory picks.
That's correct, and you know it's interesting. Collins reportedly, through his agent, was very happy to be going to the Browns. So I don't know. Maybe that Southern Miss mentality is true. Man,
I don't know if anybody's happy to be going to the Browns, but when you're going there and you don't have a choice,
that's a spin job,
you're
right there.
You're going to say you're happy,
right? And I mean, from the Browns,
I love Hugh Jackson. I love the Cleveland Browns. Followed them ever since I was a little kid. Excited to go there.
Look,
want to be part of the process of building back.
If they can get him signed, he is a very talented player.
I could have coached him up for his first press conference.
You probably could have done that with a lot of guys, it sounds like. Let's get out to the phones once again, 641-1010, and get it back on the Jags here with Jeremy out in Orange Park. Jeremy, good morning. You're on Jaguars Today. Go ahead.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good.
I really don't feel like – I feel like a lot of people are putting it on Blake, but – really don't feel like it's all. I feel like play calling was just horrific. Seems like we run every first down. I know they want to establish a run game. Maybe we should pass on first down. Maybe do a different play. And it seems like every third and eight or third and nine, Blake has to throw on third down long. I'm just wondering, what do you guys feel like the main problem is? You feel like firing the offense coordinator is really going to change the offense, or?
Well, we've kind of dealt with that. But, you know, here's the thing. Play calling is an easy thing to say that's the problem, you know. But it's not easy to say that the execution is the problem. You know, execution, to me, is first and foremost. I mean, you're talking about Greg Olsen. It's not like Greg Olsen is some slap. It's some slappy that just graduated from high school that coached flag football for the last 4 years and has no experience in the National Football League. He's got a vast knowledge of experience in the NFL. Could his play calling be that bad to where it's just laughable? No. There are other things that – now, look, if you say, is he the right leader? Is he the right voice to have in front of the team? Is he the right one to be able to get them out of the malaise that they have on offense? Those, I think, would be legitimate questions.
Sometimes you need a new voice, right?
And, you know, and I'm not trying to criticize people because, I mean, a lot of times that's the first reaction. Well, they run on first down all the time. Well, no, they don't. They don't run a first down.
They've hardly run the ball at all in the last 2 weeks, period.
I mean, when you have like three runs in the second half, you're not running the ball all the time on first down. You know, and this is not just looking at last week when you're down 27-0. I mean, this is going back in the weeks. I mean, some of the criticism for Greg Olsen has been that you're not running the ball enough in the second half when it's a one or two possession game, 10 or 14 point game. You know, so no, it's not the play calling. It's the execution of that, and it's the performance of it. But, you know, there are other things that go into being the leader of an offense. You know, I've had, you know, in my 10 years in the league, I was able to have different guys, different defensive coordinators. You know, I had one my first year, and then I had one years two through five, a different one in year six, and then had Dick Geron here. With the Jaguars, some people have the ability to be in the front of the room. And I said this last year about Bob Babbage. me personally, I didn't think he was a front-of-the-room guy. Nice guy, smart guy, experienced, but you got to have something special to be in front of the room. It's more than X's and O's. It's about leading. And is Greg Olsen, was he a front-of-the-room guy? I don't know. I never spent any time in that room to know. Is Nathaniel Hackett a front-of-the-room guy? I don't know. I can tell you that one of the great front-of-the-room guys I was ever with was Pete Carroll. Pete Carroll's our defensive coordinator when I was in New York in years 2 through 5, and then he was the head coach in year 6 for me. Excellent front-of-the-room guy. Could lead a defense. Now, is Greg Olsen a front-of-the-room guy? Don't know that. Has he been around different places long enough to know has he been a front-of-the-room guy? Probably not. So we'll see if Nathaniel Hackett can be a front-of-the-room guy.
Here's what Hackett had to say to go to the point the caller was making about play calling. You talk about sticking with the run game, even if the results aren't there at the beginning of the game.
I have always felt, like I said, the best thing in the world for a quarterback is a run game. I have always absolutely loved running the ball. I mean, I remember my first year at the Bills. I mean, I believe we were like one of the tops in the league. And I think it's one of those things is any time that you can let a young quarterback go and give it to Chris Ivory or T.J. Yeldon, they're going to run right down the field and get a couple yards. I think that even if it doesn't work, they still have to defend it. So I think that you're always going to want to try to run the ball as much as you can and kind of force that envelope. But still have things to get off of. I mean, again, don't want to give too much away, but you want to have enough to be able to have them defend everything.
You feel like Hackett just wants to tell you. he just wants to. Let me explain to you how
he's
I see
this. He's a real
excitable
guy.
He really is, though, right? And he's like, hey, here, in certain situations, I'd like to. Wait a minute.
He's pretty
I'm not going to put that out there.
Animated, I think, would be a good
term. He is. No,
he's
a good personality. So.
Yeah, he's a nice guy. He's a pleasure to talk to. You know, he comes from a coaching background. His dad was a longtime coach in the National Football League, so he probably knew more when he took his first job coaching football than most people did at that point in his life. You know, so, but look, I'm excited to see what he can do. I'm hopeful that, you know, this change can spark the offense. You know, I would disagree with him in that, you know, he said the quarterback's best friend is a running game. I think the quarterback's best friend is the ability to perform at a high level. And right now, Blake Bortles doesn't have that. You know, we'll see if the running game can get going.
It's okay to have more than one friend.
It's great to have a lot of friends when you're a quarterback. Because, you know, look, I've said this before. The quarterback position is the hardest position to play in all of sports. And I don't think anything else comes close. You know, find me another position that's as challenging as that. I don't think there are any.
I'm not going to argue.
That's why it's so hard for teams to find a quarterback. That's why they continually look. That's why when you look around the National Football League, year in and year out, there's a handful of guys that continue to perform at a high level year in and year out. I mean, really, there's what, in the league now, what, 6?
Yeah, something like that.
Depends
on the year. 6 to 10. So, yeah.
6, 7 guys. But I'm talking consistently year in and year out, year after year after year.
Yeah, understood.
Six or seven.
I just did a little bit of quick math, by the way, on the first down run for you pass kind of thing for the Jags. And it looks like they run the ball on about a third of their first downs.
One third?
Yeah.
For the season?
For the season to this point, yeah.
So
I'd love to know what the numbers are in the first half. I mean, because, you know, we're obviously with the performance of the offense in the first half have not been strong. They've been playing catch-up. And so
true. Right. You would think they'd run more first down in the first half because if you're in the second half, you're getting away from
Tony's point is that, you know, it's not always run on first down.
Yeah. You see it, and that every time you see a run, it reinforces what you think, I think. But the numbers don't bear that out, at least right now for the overall. But you can continue to call in with your questions for Jeff Loggeman at 641-1010. I do have a stack of them here on Twitter I'm going to get to. Coming back, we'll hit up some of those. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, Jeff Loggeman here with you. Jaguars today, we're live at Everbank talking Jags, getting ready. And we'll also maybe look ahead to see what Jeff thinks about the matchup with the Kansas City Chiefs as well as we move along. Jaguars today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. Hey, folks, Mike Dempsey here for Dandy Foods. Dandy Sandwiches and Subs, I'm always talking about what a great option they are for lunch. You know why? Because they're a great option for lunch, but they're a great option anytime. How about breakfast? Most important meal of the day, that's what they tell me. I think one of the best-kept secrets in town for breakfast on the go is the Dandy Breakfast Sliders. If you haven't tried one, you're absolutely going to love them. A little two-pack, but it eats big, folks. Two thick sausage patties, each with a slice of tasty melted cheddar cheese on a fresh baked bun. They call it baby brioche. It's the perfect size for eating on the go. And the price for $3, are you kidding me? You're not going to beat it for breakfast on the go anywhere in the city of Jacksonville. I'm not a big fan of the spicy food myself. This sandwich has just the right amount of kick to kickstart your day. And the great thing is they've got so much variety, whether it's breakfast sliders, new lunchtime wraps, or any of the classic Dandy sandwiches and subs, and from the Anytime Deli line as well. Dandy's been doing it for over 60 years. Hop in a Circle K or Kangaroo Express, head straight to the Fresh Case, and check them out. When you're hungry for food on the go, make yours a Dandy today.
Jaguars Today from the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field.
Text the keyword GAME to the 1010XL text line driven by Duval Ford for your chance to win tickets to Saturday's historic Navy-Notre Dame game at Everbank Field. Learn more about the game at NavyNotreDame.JackSports.com.
With family and friends coming over for the holiday season, there's just not enough time to get everything done. Hey guys, it's Donna Murphy from Helmets and Heels. Let Zerez help you this season. Zerez will clean your carpets, tile and grout, furniture, area rugs, whatever your home needs. You'll love their work. Zerez has a patented soap-free system that doesn't flood your carpet and doesn't leave any dirt attracting residue. This means your carpets will stay cleaner longer. The holidays are coming around fast, so book Zerez today. Call now and tell them that 1010XL sent you. Get your carpets cleaned for only $43 per room. Did you hear me? $43 per room. Now at that price, you should get the whole house cleaned. Call Zerez now before they are all booked up. 287-5727. That's 287-5727. Servicing Jacksonville, Palm Coast, and Daytona Beach. Zerez, spelled backwards or forwards, it's the right way to clean.
Does your tap water taste and smell bad? Are you concerned about what's in your tap water? Don't waste money on bottled water. Florida Pump Service can solve your problem with a reverse osmosis system for your home. It removes 95 to 99% of impurities. Get high quality water right to your tap for only pennies a gallon. Call Florida Pump Service today for a free, no hassle water test at 269-0202 or visit floridapumpservice.com. Florida Pump Service, we make water happen.
Metro Rooter, you've probably heard of us. It's no accident that by providing same-day service, professional technicians, and the right equipment, hundreds of businesses count on us every week to keep their drains draining, their plumbing functioning, and their pumps pumping. I'm Tom McLaughlin, CEO of Metro Rooter. And if you are a current customer of ours, I want to thank you for your continued confidence in Metro Rooter. If you'd like to contact Metro Rooter, the plumbing service you can trust, we're on the web at MetroRooter.com or just call 695-1911. Thank you.
Whether you're having an issue with a tenant or landlord, selling or buying a home, homeowners association, or foreclosure, real estate can be complex. Hi, this is Keith Crockett with Crockett Law PL, a locally owned real estate law firm. I can handle any real estate litigation case or dispute, and as your lawyer, it's my job to zealously fight for your rights. Call me today to schedule a consultation at 904-247-4831. Crockett Law PL, real estate law. Office, Ponte Vedra Beach.
Hello, this is Father Nicholas Lowe, and I want to talk to you today about having a grateful spirit. As we journey in life, it's so easy to take things for granted, but I want to encourage you to never get tired of thanking God for your blessings. Take time also to thank the people in your life who have and are helping you to become the person you are today. Don't go through life complaining, go through life praising.
To hear more inspirational messages by Reverend Dr. Nicholas Lowe, please visit our website at stjohnthedivine.com.
The flagship station of the Jaguars, 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Now that should take care of any problem. Wild West Guns and Gold is always there for you because even a 60-second response time is not enough. Wild West Guns and Gold only buys dealer direct and passes the savings directly on to you. Not only does Wild West Guns and Gold guarantee the best price every time, they have the best selection on everything from handguns to military assault rifles. Call 693-0777 or visit gunsforjax.com. That's guns, the number four, JAX.com for more information.
It's said when one door closes,
another one opens. Like at your local BMW center, when you close the door of your old car, you can open the door of a certified pre-owned BMW with exceptional offers from BMW Financial Services. So, hurry in to your local BMW center and see what doors open for you. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Visit TomBushBMW.com or OPBMW.com and see us for a test drive today.
Fall is in the air, and now is the time to start getting your yard ready for next year. To get started, visit McClunny Equipment and Tractor, your Kubota Superstore and Land Pride dealer. We carry a full line of Kubota tractors, recreational vehicles, and zero-turn mowers, and a full line of Land Pride tractors and construction implements. McClunny Equipment and Tractor is your Kubota and Land Pride dealer. Click metractor.com or call 904-259-4277 to reach your Kubota Superstore for all our fall specials.
Country music's hottest songwriter is taking over the concert stage. Cole Swindell, live in concert. Saturday, November 19th, St. Simon's Island Airport in Golden Isles, Georgia. Country's fastest rising star. Cole Swindell. Individual tickets are on sale now at rsmclassic.com. Cole Swindell, live. Presented by RSM Classic and Southeast Georgia Health System.
Bud Light, the official beer of the NFL, wants you to raise one to right now. And soon, a chance to qualify for the coolest ticket in town. From a VIP party to start your Jaguars Sunday to tickets to the Terrace Suite, all compliments of Bud Light.
Jeff Lagerman lays down the law. Jeff Lagerman Tuesday on Jaguars Today is brought to you by Crockett Law PL Real Estate Law. Now more with Jeff Lagerman.
I appreciate those guys at Crockett Law PL Real Estate Law for sponsoring our Tuesday shows here on Jaguars Today. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Jeff Lagerman. You're checking out, would you, Big Country tweeting and out about Alex Smith. Was he tweeting about it, Tony, or did he text you about it? We saw a report.
I'm still looking.
Yesterday, Alex Smith reportedly came out of the game. They said he didn't have a concussion. Of course, he got up the first time. He clearly
couldn't even stand.
He couldn't see. He looked like a boxer who got, taken, was just about to go down. And then he went to the locker room, came back in the game.
And supposedly had an ear laceration or something of that nature. I mean, come on.
That's what made him woozy, right? And then he left the game again after another big hit. And then yesterday,
which clearly the head slammed back against the turf, just like the first time.
Right. And then they said yesterday he did not have a concussion. Tyler, did Big Country tell you he saw this report?
He came in and he showed me an Around the NFL article on NFL.com. I'm still searching for it. I don't know where he got the story from, but it was breaking news and it said he was concussed in Sunday's game. So I'm searching for it.
Because they claimed yesterday that he was not.
Look,
right.
You'd have to be a moron to think that he did not have a concussion in that game. I mean, all you got to do is watch the body language of that. I'm not a neurologist.
No.
But, I mean, come on.
I mean, something happened that affected his balance, and it doesn't mean it's a severe concussion, but he took those two shots. He's probably concussed.
It was a classic case. A lot of times it's not the impact, but it's the backlash.
Right. The whiplash kind of hit your
head. Where
the
head is hitting the back of the turf. And you see running backs, wide receivers get this a lot of times to where they get tackled, and it's not the blow to the head, but where they're going back to where they're landing on their back, and the head literally like cracking the whip is what slams back against the turf. That's exactly what happened in both cases with Alex Smith, and you could see it clearly on film.
What did Spencer Ware get this week? What was his injury?
Concussion.
He had a concussion as well?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's, two potential starters that could be in the protocol. We have not confirmed the Alex Smith report.
They've already said Ware is in the protocol.
Right.
Ware's in it. And
I don't understand what the deal is with Alex Smith, but I can tell you, Film Room Friday this week on Jaguars.com will have those two plays where we will show how clear it is that Alex Smith sustained a head injury.
Oh, there's no question.
Not a laceration.
I didn't watch the game, but I saw those highlights of Smith. You want something eerie on Sirius on our fantasy channel, Jeff Manns. He, on Sunday morning, I never get to listen, and I'm listening on Sunday morning, he and Bob Harris, and Manns liked Charcandrick West as one of his sleepers because he said Spencer Ware is going to get hurt and have to leave this game. Swear to God, I didn't. Wow. That's eerie. I mean, how do you call that? How do you even
that's nuts.
Begin to make a call like that, right? So I don't think West exactly lit it on fire, but Kansas City may not exactly be whole in that offensive backfield heading into this game.
And the new kid that they have on offense, their draft pick, Tyreek Hill, is one heck of a player now. I mean, he's
coming on.
Him,
return game as a receiver. He is a little of everything.
He
right
is
now.
When you look at him, seventh in the National Football League in kick returns, and then in punt returns, he is second in the National Football League. And of course, the number of returns have to qualify for a ranking,
right?
But watching him on offense, you can tell that Andy Reid and their offensive coordinator are designing plays specifically for his skill set, and so that's something that the Jaguars are going to have to be aware of. Now, look, Macklin is still a very, very good player, but he doesn't have that, you know, go deep speed that he's just going to take the top off of a defense. But Tyreek Hill has that, and they get him the ball in a multitude of ways. They'll do a little, you know, underneath handoff on where he's coming in motion across the formation, and it's a little speed reverse, little bubble screens. Very creative in trying to get him the football.
Let's hit up some questions, Jeff, from Twitter here for you here on a Check the Tape Tuesday. Let me just jump right into the midst of this. Let's see. This one from Eric Soriano. Several questions here. Talking about Blake's performance, is it a big drop in mechanics from last year? Is it a mental issue? Is it somewhat both? Do you think he is still salvageable to be the guy we drafted him to be? In other words, is he still potentially the franchise quarterback that they envision?
Yeah, I still think that he's potentially the franchise guy, but he's got a long way to go to prove that. Is it mechanics? Is it mental? Well, it's both. I mean, it's, you know, because with good mechanics become confidence. Confidence breeds continued good mechanics. I mean, it's kind of a circle of things. You know, and with Blake, you know, the one thing I think gives him a chance, I think he is extremely mentally tough. You know, he didn't grow up being groomed to be a quarterback his entire life. And right. I'm not saying that that's not the right approach because, I mean, some people, they started playing quarterback.
Peyton Manning.
Quarterback camps. I mean, that's what they did their whole life. Nothing wrong with that. But I think the toughness that Blake has, I think, is a little bit of that linebacker mentality that he probably got from playing linebacker at some point when he was playing football. But I like how tough he is. I like how resilient he is. And I've always said this about Blake, that I think that always gave him he always seems to be able to have a chance at the end of a half and at the end of the game. He has the ability to rise his level of play at a critical moment. That's something that we talked about last year to a great extent, and which we were excited about, and that he could do that. And you don't have that and then not have the ability to bounce back and start being a better player. So I think that aspect of his makeup, I think, gives him a chance to be the franchise guy eventually.
Here, a lot of questions about, you know, obviously the future and Gus Bradley and Dave Caldwell and, you know, kind of, are they joined at the hip? You know, we talked about this aspect last year. If you're the GM and you hit on the quarterback, even if the record, if you feel like you've got the right quarterback, I think that is, it's enough to keep a GM around for a second coaching hire, right? If you make that.
I.e. Ryan Grigson.
Yes, right. Even if it was a no-brainer, right, in that case.
Yeah.
This was more of a stick-your-neck-out selection because it wasn't an automatic.
No.
But the question here from Daniel Waldrop, the Daniel underscore Waldrop on Twitter, who's more to blame for the struggles of the Jaguars? Is it Caldwell or Bradley? I mean, you can look at it that way. You can also look at, like, is this a nine-game get-it-right for everybody, or do you think that – Dave and Gus are viewed differently in terms of how they've performed by Shad Khan? You got to speculate.
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that. There's only one person that knows the answer to that, and that's Shad Khan. He's going to make that call. But, you know, part of, you know, of a general manager-coach dynamic is that they work together, and the general manager hires the coach. So, you know, it's going to be – hopefully, at the end of the year, we're not having this conversation. This football team gets on a roll. Blake Bortles starts playing
well. Go in
seven
of the next nine.
You know, and all of a sudden, we're like, wow, what a dramatic turnaround. What a great job. You know, but if that conversation happens, we'll have it at that point. But, I don't want to speculate because, you know what, I can speculate all I want. But the reality of it is that the answer lies within one person, and that's Shad Khan. And Shad Khan is not sharing his information with me.
Understood.
He is a very smart man, and I think he will do what is right for this organization. I will tell you that.
All right, here's another one from Twitter, Jeff. This one from Reed Zah 3 says, why is the right side of the offensive line struggling in the run game? Question mark. No push? Question mark. Are either of those guys getting it done? What do you see on film from Cannon Parnell?
Well, I think they can be better. I think the landmarks can be better. I think the push can be better. I think A.J. Cann can be a lot better. And because, you know, I have high expectations for A.J. I think that he has an ability to be a very effective run blocker and a very effective pass blocker. And I don't think he's played to the level that I thought that he could play at. I think Parnell has actually gotten better as a pass protector. I think he's gotten better as a run blocker, but he still can be better on his landmarks. You know, the right side of the offensive line, and again, I'm going to say this again, the running backs need to be better to make the offensive line better. They need to be more decisive, understand where they need to run the ball, because, you know, there are opportunities there. The offensive line is not entirely to blame for the lack of a run game.
All right. By the way, I'm finding out that after Big Country cranked up his Amiga this morning, he found out that his app needs to be updated because that breaking news story apparently was dated October 30th. So disregard. Now, I think they're sticking with the storyline that Alex Smith did not suffer a concussion in that football game right now. But Film Room Friday, he put a lie to that one. As well, let's get Satchel on the south side.
In the game to suffer a second one,
right?
Right. It's the Chiefs.
Maybe
the
that's it. He did not suffer a single concussion in that game. No, he suffered two separate concussions in that game.
Here's the thing: it's, you know, with a head injury, the next ones become easier to get.
Right. Especially if you're in that short window of that it hasn't completely
healed.
Got it. Right. Gotten out of your system.
Yeah. So I'm very. I mean, with the league's emphasis. And with how that looked, I'm very surprised at how they're handling this.
I'm always shocked. I watch games, and I feel like I'm pretty good at picking up when a guy has a potential concussion, just basically by their body language and the way they walk up the field. If you watch the Sunday morning game, Washington and Cincinnati, DeSean Jackson, someone comes in and hits him low, and he gets hit in the helmet, and he's laying there on the turf, and they're like, I can't remember what they're speculating what the injury was. And I'm like, no, look, he just took his helmet off, and he's like, shaking his head slowly back and forth. Guy got hit in the head, and I'm like, I can't understand how people who work with the league, whether they're broadcasters or anybody else, don't immediately see these signs. All you had to see when Alex Smith gets up and he's staggering and they have to hold him up, that's all the evidence you need at that point in time, I think. And they did take him out of the game, but they're willing to put him back in and risk further injury. Let's get Satchel on the south side here before the bottom of the hour. Satchel, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing good. I got it. This is bothering me since the Greg Olsen firing. I'm hearing a lot of fans that call in with a lot of hesitation in their voice in regards to the firing. And I'm hearing even more that, oh, the Jags had to do something instead of a real conviction of an answer. And I have one. And it's an amazing call. In my opinion, to a lot of coworkers I've spoke to, it was our number one offensive problem. Some people will disagree, some will not. And I understand the criticism on Blake. But it really was Greg Olsen. I've seen every play, whether it's a home game or a road game. And even from week one, my question is, and here's proof, a little bit of proof. Why are we in shotgun, three wide, one tight end, one running back on the 5-yard line, and all that hoopla after we signed Chris Ivory? I don't care what the stat sheet says. And during the game, try to run the ball. So it came down to Greg Olsen making terrible play calls at critical moments versus overall. I'll take your comments off the air.
Hey, thank you, Satchel. I'll go even further. That you go back 2 weeks, the 1 yard line, inside the 1 yard line.
Second and goal to one.
Second and goal, they throw the fade. And then on third and goal, they line up in the shotgun and then they get the false start. And that pushed them back. And, you know, who knows what they were.
I don't disagree with that whatsoever. You know, the one play that they threw to Mercedes, and I believe that was the Chicago game.
Mm-hmm.
look, I love Mercedes. I think he's a very good player for the role that he's asked to do, but I'm not going to throw a high point ball to Mercedes because that's not what he does best. You know, he doesn't do a great job of high pointing the ball, and he was the primary on that. And so that was disappointing, and especially when it was second and goal to one. I mean,
and Chris Ivory just run it 6 yards.
Up there, you know what?
Right, very reminiscent of the Super Bowl with Marshawn Lynch running sure. down to the 1 yard line, and you know, if the play works,
yeah,
it's
no,
great
there's
play.
There's no doubt. And I mean, there's some calls that you look at and you go, wow, you know. But I mean, for the bulk of them, you know, those are easy to kind of point, or easy for me to look at and go, ah, I didn't like that.
I will say, I think there's a little bit of element when you hear people complaining about the firing. I think there's a certain segment of the fan base that has decided Gus Bradley is not the guy, and that's fine. That's their prerogative, and that nothing Gus does short of getting himself fired is going to be good enough. So I do think that some of the pushback that I've seen, well, how's Gus going to, you know, I've heard the term scapegoat, scapegoat, scapegoat. Gus is going to do this. And we saw the text earlier today that said, if I'm shot and Gus comes to me and says, I want to fire a coordinator, I fire Gus on the spot. To me, I think those people in a vacuum, if you said, hey, would you like to try changing the offense coordinator, would probably agree that it would be a something they would want to try. But because it's Gus making the decision for a certain segment, I'm not saying it's for everybody out there, but I do think that's some of the question. Because honestly, who can argue that you don't need to shake up the offense? You've got to do something to try it, right? So I would have expected this was going to be met with more widespread approval, but I think some of the disappointment is from people who just feel like, well, the big move that we wanted hasn't been made, and until it does, you know, we don't think anything's going to get fixed. And they may be right, you know. I don't know. But I do think that's where some of that comes from. I don't think there was a legion of Greg Olsen supporters out there saying, hey, he's doing a great job with the offense right now. Let's hang on to him.
No.
So there you go. All right. Jeff Logman, Fat Tony, Mike Dempsey here with you. It's a Check the Tape Tuesday on Jaguars Today. More of your questions for Logs on the other side. If you'd like to get on board on the phone line, 641-1010. We'll hit up some social media questions as well as we get ready to close it out. It's Jaguars Today live at Everbank on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Jaguars Daily is brought to you by Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, the official sports medicine provider for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
So far in the 2016 season, the Jaguars have struggled in the run game, and new Jaguars offensive coordinator Nathaniel Hackett addressed that yesterday at a press conference.
We're not gaining a lot of yards from a simple standpoint. You know, it's never just one thing. I mean, if it was, I think it'd be easy to just hop right in there and say, oh, we'll do this and we'll be good. And it's something that, you know, I now need to look at it from a different perspective. You know, a lot of the time I was kind of working with Blake on the pass game and stuff like that. So I really need to throw myself into the run game.
This has been Jaguars Daily, brought to you by JOI. I'm Jordan DeArmond.
From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, this is Jaguars Today. The Notre Dame Fighting Irish, the Navy Midshipmen. Two legendary programs, one historic matchup at Everbank Field. 1010XL's coverage of Navy Notre Dame is brought to you by Advanced Business Solutions on 1010XL.
As a parent of an athlete at a high school covered by Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, my son injured both of his shoulders playing football. Their athletic trainer was there to help and guide us through the process of getting him into an orthopedic physician. He had to miss his senior year of football. The rehab staff at JOI was outstanding. Thanks to the therapists at JOI, our son was able to return to his active lifestyle. I would highly recommend JOI to anyone. Call JOI 2000.
Doing business in North Florida for over 20 years, First Coast Roofing is the only call you need to make for all your roofing needs, residential or commercial, repairs or re-roofs. Call today for a free estimate, 287-7756. How about a roof for as little as $500? First Coast Roofing specializes in roofs damaged by wind or hail and will work with you to file your homeowner's claim with the insurance company. Call Bob Roberts at First Coast Roofing for all your roofing needs, 287-7756. License number CCC-056797.
At Farrah & Farrah, we take pride in the fact that many of our new clients are referred to us by former clients. Farrah & Farrah, protecting you and your family. Call us at 396-5555, Jacksonville.
If you're an experienced pipe welder, Local 234, plumbers, pipe fitters, and HVAC technicians is looking for you. They provide competitive pay and great benefits that are no cost to you. Visit UA234.com to send your resume.
When it comes to vehicle safety, having poor visibility is a risk not worth taking. Get set for this fall's weather by visiting your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store during the See Better, Drive Safer sale. You'll find deals on name brand headlights, wiper blades, and everything you need to see better and drive safer. Get a $15 or $20 O'Reilly gift card after mail-in rebate when you purchase a twin pack of Sylvania Silver Star or Silver Star Ultra headlights. You'll also get a $20 gift card after mail-in rebate when you purchase a pair of Bosch Icon or Trico Force wiper blades. We have what you need to improve visibility at great prices, but time is short. Stop in today and see better, drive safer with O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Restrictions apply. See store for details.
Suffering from 21st century disorder, a condition that can be triggered by excessive traffic, cat videos on social media, or lots of annoying people? Get the natural cure. Freedom Boat Club. This disorder comes on quickly in a traffic jam or at the checkout line when that person in front who left 67 items on the counter to double-check the sale price of a bag of donuts. This disorder can be the leading cause of stress, anxiety, uncontrolled outbursts of profanity, or even excessive bar tabs. Experiencing the symptoms of 21st century disorder? Call your doctor immediately. Ask about Freedom Boat Club.
When my doctor prescribed Freedom Boat Club, I didn't realize how much it would change my life. I still run into annoying people. I just don't care anymore.
If you don't like having fun, sunbathing, or breathing fresh air, then Freedom Boat Club isn't for you. Let your doctor know if you experience any side effects such as excessive smiling, a sudden suntan, or the desire to listen to old Jimmy Buffett tunes. But if you're tired of the effects of 21st century disorder, don't delay. Call Freedom Boat Club today. Your peace of mind just might depend on it.
For more than 20 years, Remedy, Jacksonville's most reputable staffing company, has been employing people in North Florida with great jobs. If you have temporary staffing needs, great people are just one click away. Visit RemedyStaff.com to learn more.
Home of the Jacksonville Jaguars, 1010 XL, 92.5 FM.
It's party time at the Golf Club of Southampton. If you're planning a holiday party of any kind for your company, your family, even the neighborhood, plan it in their beautiful clubhouse. Just call 287-PLAY and ask for Allison. They can help plan the entire event from menu to decorations and leave the partying up to you. The Golf Club of Southampton, a perfect place for any occasion, including your season-ending fantasy football awards party. Have it at the Golf Club of Southampton. Call Allison at 287-PLAY.
Jacksonville's building a fence along the goal line. This is the Bullard Fence Defensive Player of the Game. Bullard Fence, serving Greater Jacksonville for over 15 years with no bull.
Jaguar linebacker Telvin Smith is this week's Bullard Fence Defensive Player of the Game. Smith had 15 total tackles, 10 of which were solo against the Tennessee Titans. Congratulations to Telvin Smith, this week's Bullard Fence Defensive Player of the Game.
Some things you need to keep in. Some things you want to keep out. Then there's privacy. With a Bullard fence, you'll have the quality fence you want to keep pets and children in while keeping privacy at a comfortable level. Wood, aluminum, vinyl, and chain-linked fence. Bullard Fence will help you find what you need. Serving Greater Jacksonville for 15 years with no bull. Visit BullardFence.com. Bullard Fence.
Monroe's Smokehouse Barbecue knows how to cook it up and serve it up to make sure you have a great lunch or dinner anytime you stop by. Check out both locations on Highway Avenue near Cassett and on beach across from the post office. From wings to onion rings, make it Monroe's.
It's Tuesday's Talk with 88. Alan Hearns joins Dan and Jeff on the Drill Tuesday morning. Brought to you by Body Armor Natural Sports Drink and the construction law and litigation attorneys Regan, Whalen, Zabuni, and Atwood. Jeff Lagerman lays down the law. Jeff Lagerman Tuesday on Jaguars Today is brought to you by Crockett Law PL Real Estate Law. Now more with Jeff Lagerman.
All right, coming down the stretch here on Jaguars Today this morning. Hey, check the tape Tuesday.
By the way, yes, sir. In Nashville, Thursday night game, me and Baselli and Kyle Brady were at the Wild Horse Saloon.
Who you run into?
Fat Tony's brother.
What the hell?
Which, by the way, his brother is not fat. He's tall,
yeah.
Slender, blondish hair.
Yep.
You guys are not cut from the same cloth.
No.
You got a ginger in the family?
No, I got my whole dad's side of the family. He's got like two brothers that are like 6'4", 6'5". My mom's side of the family, we are very Italian. Very short, very squat. Like, I'm one of the taller people when I get around my mom's family. My brother's a giant.
When he said, "Hey, I'm Tony's brother," I'm going, "Did they have the same mom?"
Yeah, we get that a lot. And he actually texted me about it. He's like, "I introduced myself to Loggeman." He's like, "You're pulling my leg." I was like,
"Come on, really?
You are not Tony's brother."
Yeah. The other thing that was cool about that was meeting all the different people that were in Nashville. I mean, literally from California, New York. Overseas. I mean, it was amazing.
That had come to see the Jags?
Oh, yeah. It went to Nashville specifically, you know?
That's a big thing. I know BCB did a trip up there, you know. And
you know who was there? Crockett Law himself.
Oh, excellent.
Yes, he was.
Nice. That's our guy.
So that was cool. He was there. Pops was there. You know, Pops is the dad of the tight end, Julius Thomas.
Okay.
Pops was there hanging out. And so it was cool, man. It was. I wish that it was like post game, so
right.
I could have a beer
and that they had won. Right?
Yes. Yeah. Post game after a
celebratory
win in Nashville would have been awesome.
Instead, you get a couple days in KC this week because early travel day, right? With Notre Dame Navy coming up this weekend.
Yeah, a little early travel day. It was too interesting too. We at the Wild Horse Lounge, we were walking out. Me and Tony, we got to leave. You know, get ready to go on the radio with you guys. And there's a guy at the bar, and he's wearing the Captain James T. Kirk colored Blake Bortles jersey.
Yes.
You know, the Color Rush jersey.
Yes.
Which I like them.
I love them.
Yeah, I
love them.
I like them. And so I come up behind a guy, and he doesn't know I'm coming up to him. And I come up to him, slap him on the back, and I said, "Come on, Blake. You got to play better tonight, man." He turned around and was like, "Oh, my God, Loggeman."
So he knew immediately who you were.
Yeah,
right?
You know, it was fun.
That's cool.
It was a good time.
Fun. I don't know if we can invite Alex Aegis back. He represents BCB UK. He came into town a couple weeks ago. I saw him out at the last two Bulls games. He had never seen high school football before, so that was kind of cool that he got to come see Bulls Reigns, which is such a cool rivalry.
Yeah, spoiled.
Here in this city, right? But he got in town in time to watch the Oakland game and head up to Nashville to watch the Titans game.
Good for him.
Bad
results, but good for him for making the trip nonetheless.
He did get
man.
To do Florida-Georgia, too. It was a whirlwind football 2 weeks for
probably rooting for the Bulldogs with his luck on that trip. All right, let's get a couple in under the wire here. Charles is in Oak Leaf, and he's next up on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Charles.
Good morning, gentlemen. Hope everything's doing well with you.
Yes, sir. Same
with you. Never been accused of being a smart man, but I do have a pause button so I can watch plays. And I can count when there's 8 men in the box on first down when we start a game. And I understand where Olsen's probably has his hands up going, "What can I do? I got a quarterback who's being dared to throw the ball more than 10 yards. There's safety high, so I know I can't get the deep ball. So they're trying to make me throw. I make my quarterback throw between 10 to 15 yards. I don't have a line I can run block against 8 men. It's not the Lombardi days when you hear, "You need a seal here. You need a seal here." And you turn it out, and we're going to get this block. We're going to get our 5 yards, and then we're going to do it over. What do you see that's going to come different from this, from this calling? Is it they're going to start putting an extra tackle at tight end, and they're just going to do 2-inch splits and try to just run some sort of power game? Or what do you see that can be done different when you have a quarterback who can't get a ball in the air on time more than 10 yards without the defense having an equal shot at it?
Great question. And it's not an easy answer. You know, when you bring up 8 in the box, and teams are going to challenge Blake 8 in the box because they right now it's what he's going to see some because he, you know, right now he's not accurate enough to where teams are going, we got to start playing off. But one thing I think that Blake has been seeing in the early part of the season is more cover 2 than he's ever seen in the past. Because even though that teams are saying, look, Blake is not playing well, but even early in the season, teams didn't come to that conclusion. They're still thinking about Blake from last year, and he's going to throw it deep. He's going to push the ball down the field. Allen Robinson is going to be able to make a play. He's probably seen more cover 2 this year than he's seen at any stretch. He's having a hard time with cover 2. You know, the throwing lanes and the objectives versus cover two are very different than man coverage. And so it's almost as if, and speculating, now that he's starting to see all of this, the full playbook that a defense can offer, he is not sure in some instances of exactly what it is they're playing and where he needs to go with the ball, and he's not anticipating. And that's part of the problem. Maybe that's part of the reason why the information gets out there that he's a basket case. You know, I'm speculating on that. But right now, I don't care what coverage Blake is seeing. Blake is struggling with it, whether it be cover two, whether it be man. Because if you're not accurate, you can't play against any coverage. And for Greg Olsen, when you talk about eight men in the box all the time on first down, that's not necessarily the case. There's a lot of teams that have played Blake with two, playing cover two on first down, especially once the game progresses and the score is a little different. So it's not one thing that you can point at, and it's not all on Blake. And I just make sure I want to say that again. Everything else has to be better. The coaching has to be better. The performance has to be better, the quarterback, the play of the running backs, the running game has to be better, the offensive line has to be better. Because you know what? If one guy starts playing better, if Blake starts playing better right now, will it be better? Yes. But will it accomplish and make an offense effective with his performance being better? It's still not going to be good enough, I can tell you that. It's got to be a collective effort.
All right, let's get one more in here. Charles, thank you for that call. Chris at the Beaches gets the last word today on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Chris.
Hey, good morning, guys. I didn't necessarily have a comment about the firing of Olsen, but it was more so an observation on Gus and his coaching style. I think when you get to this level of the NFL, you're either a coaching genius like Belichick, and your guys believe in your system because just of how smart you are. And obviously, he's a dime a dozen. But when it comes to the other type of coaching strategy or how you motivate your players, you have to have some type of fire. You have to have some type of get-in-your-face attitude. I mean, we all know that he's a rah-rah guy. But at the same time, your players aren't responding to that. And it seems almost as if they're taking advantage of that attitude. So there needs to be some, you know, not, you know, grab them by the face mask, but hey, accountability, but getting somebody's rear end, you know what I'm saying? Let the locker room know that you're in charge and you're going to hold them accountable to what they're doing. So, I think just we've seen it's too lackadaisical. You can get by with too much stuff with what seems like maybe a good explanation behind closed
doors. Well, let me say this. I mean, there's the different coaching styles have worked. I mean, there is no one answer. You know, there's not, okay, Bill Belichick is the way, and it's the only way. Pete Carroll does it a different way in Seattle. Mike Zimmer does it a different way in Minnesota. You know, Jason Garrett is doing it a different way in Dallas. You know, so there's no one singular way to be successful at being a head coach in the National Football League. But the one thing that is for certain is that the results are going to say whether it's effective or not. And so right now, the results aren't effective. And that will be the ultimate judgment of any head coach in the National Football League.
Chris, thank you for the call. That's going to do it for us today. Logs, thanks again. And what do you got coming up between now and Friday?
So you got Jaguars Live Wednesday night with Ashley Mitchum on Channel 4. That's 8 o'clock. And then Film Room Friday, Jaguars.com, Friday morning.
Gus Bradley Show on Thursday.
Gus Bradley Show Thursday night, and then Jaguars Thursday after that. And the outdoor show will be without me once again this week, as I will
be outdoors.
I will be outdoors in Missouri. In fact, the little early trip to Missouri is going to allow me to be in a bow stand with some guys from Jacksonville that have a lease out there in Missouri. And I'm thank you, Mr. Bill Gilliam.
Now, are they taking your equipment? Do you take that on the team?
No, they got it. They got it.
They got it. So you go out there, all your stuff's ready for you.
To Bill this morning, Advance Electric. He owns an electric company here in town. And him and some guys in Jacksonville got a place. I think they actually have some in Iowa and then also in Missouri. And I'm going to be able to hunt Missouri, which I just can't wait. It's always been a dream of mine to be able to bow hunt whitetails in the Midwest in the fall, which, you know, during the fall I'm working, so I don't get to do it. But here was an opportunity for a one-day hunt, and I said, you know what, I'm going to do it.
All right. There you go. Have fun with that, man. Thank you. As you guys will travel on Friday, we'll be back, or Jeff will be back with us next Tuesday. Of course, you'll catch him on the pregame and the postgame as well.
I'll be back next Tuesday if I don't decide to stay in
Missouri. if you don't love Missouri quite that much. All right, Jeff, thank you, buddy. For Jeff Loggeman, for Fat Tony, for Tyler Devitt and Joe Fortunato, thanks to everybody out there for listening and participating in the program on social media and what have you. We'll be back tomorrow from 10 until noon. Maybe a little Osier in with us tomorrow. We shamed him today. He thought we had kicked him out for Lauren Brooks yesterday.
Number four.
We'll welcome in John Osier tomorrow. And everybody stick around. Malik Jackson coming up top of the hour, so we're going to let you go. Midday Chalk on the other side right here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
The moon is going to move, and the Jacksonville Jaguars are going to be back.
You guys have a good day. Peace.